Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Well, wasn't that special? Welcome into the Playbook Tuesday on Patriots.com Radio. Nitpick Tuesday. Hashtag Nitpick Tuesday. I'm John Rook. Do we have any picks? Any nits to pick here? I mean, wow. It's kind of hard to find them when you win 43-17 in a game that certainly nobody saw coming. But hasn't that really been the case all season long for these New England Patriots? Everything that has happened through the previous 4 weeks leading up to this past one, no one really expected. Maybe with the exception of the Minnesota game, and even then, I think we all realize that wasn't really a clean game. It was 30-7, but it still didn't feel like a 30-7 beatdown should. And so now you've sort of awakened the giant, so to speak. And there are many around the NFL who cover the league. Whether you work for the four-letter network or a three-letter network or a two-letter network or a local station or you're just a fan or another person who likes to hoo-ha out there, you know, there are a lot of people with egg on their face today thinking that, oh, I see this, oh, I see that. This team is destined to, you know, to be doomed and, it, you know, the end of the dynasty and more on the end of the dynasty coming up in just a little while here on the program. However, We all have to kind of put ourselves in this particular category, because nobody, and I don't care who you are, I don't care where you're listening, you can be the biggest Pats fan in Afghanistan if that's what you want to be, and I know that we have them, but nobody saw Sunday night coming. Nobody. Now, there's two things about that. Number one, it's good, actually, that nobody saw that coming because it tells me that the Patriots have another gear. Number two, even the most ardent fan, you can still support your team. You can still root for your team. You can still, you know, pull for them, follow them, support them, cheer for them, whatever, and still know deep down that they don't really have a chance in a game. Kind of what I'm facing this week, you know, with my buddy Strippers. You know, long-time listener and emailer and contributor to this program over the course of the last, 14 years, Strippers, that we've been doing Patriots.com radio. I think you've been around for every one of them. You may have been the first emailer that I ever answered on this show or even had, you know, and I think the only reason you probably ever emailed me and when Twitter came out, tweeted me, whatever you want to call it, because, you know, I'm a Longhorn and you're a Sooner. And this is Texas OU week, and all I can tell you is I didn't expect them to win last year, and Texas handed you your own hats, so to speak. You got beat by Colt McCoy's little brother at quarterback. You know, I fear that this Saturday at the Texas State Fair, fried foods and all, probably won't go as well for the Longhorns. But that's not going to keep me from rooting for Texas and still supporting my team and my program and knowing that better days are ahead. And that's the way most Patriots fans are. I totally understand that. I get that. It's good to root for the home team. Got no problem with that at all. And this is sort of a gathering ground for people who want to root, want to follow, want to find out information, want to nitpick, want to tear apart, want to hate. This is the common ground that we have right here. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Patriots Playbook. This is what you have. So it was a great win. All wins are great in this league. This one was particularly poignant because of the way Tom Brady showed himself in the face of adversity, in the face of everybody saying, "You're done, Tom. You're done. It's all over. Thanks for the memories. Jimmy G's waiting on the bench." Didn't quite turn out that way. Looks like Tom Brady still has little a little fuel for his fire. And that's great. I don't think these guys are done yet. There are still some major problems on this team that need to be addressed, and we'll spend some time looking at that today. That's why this is hashtag Nitpick Tuesday. But at the same time, because I've already been chastised via social media today, particularly on Facebook, that, you know, how come we're nitpicking over 43-17? Well, it's because that's what we do. This is what we do on Tuesdays. We've done it for, you know, more than a decade. If you're a newcomer to the program, well, you know, that's, you're going to have to, I don't know, what do you want me to tell you? I guess I can tell you, you know, give you a familiar phrase to all of us around here. It is what it is. New England fans like to nitpick. New Englanders nitpicked the Minutemen after the Revolutionary War, for those of you living across the pond, okay? You know, our ragtag bunch of soldiers beating up on the British Redcoats, you know, back in the 1700s. New Englanders find a way to nitpick with that. That's just what New Englanders do. We can't stand it when things are good here. Can't stand it. We got to find the negative. We thrive on negativity. And so that's what we do on Tuesdays. Now, we are going to take some time today to appreciate some of the good points. And I do this from time to time, especially on Nitpick Tuesdays, because frankly, you know, the team deserves it. The players down the hallway deserve it. The organization deserves it. Fans deserve it. Been able to, you know, note, you know, some superlatives that deserve to be mentioned that might have slipped through the cracks that you might not have noticed. And so we're going to fire off a few of those for you today as well. So I'm going to ask you the same question, because in an effort to try to balance it out for our friends across the pond and for those that have taken it upon social media to lambast me or lambaste me. What is it? Lambast or lambaste? It's lambaste, right? With an A. Okay, that's what I thought. For those of you that have lambasted me, sounds like I'm basting a turkey here. Kind of hit the nail on the head with that one, didn't I? For those of you that have lambasted me over too much negativity, this is your chance. Thank you. This is your chance today. So with your nitpicks today, I want you to give me one thing that was a pleasant surprise. Okay? So give me your nitpick. I know you've got them. Everybody has them, or at least most everybody has them. But let's also include with your Nitpick Tuesday today, let's include your pleasant surprise. There you go. Think about that. What was a pleasant surprise that you just did not expect about the game Sunday night? Let's balance this out. For every nitpick, let's see if we can come up with a superlative, a compliment, if you will. And hopefully that will appease those of you who don't like, you know, getting mired in the muck of negativity around here, even though that's what true New Englanders thrive on. It's that negativity that, to me, that's what caused New Englanders to be New Englanders when we whipped the Redcoats' butts back in 1776. I mean, come on. They didn't like the taxes. They didn't like the religious non-freedom. They didn't like, you know, the ability to come and do and as they pleased. So they're nitpicking on the Redcoats, nitpicking on the British, and went to war. That's who we are. That's who Patriots are. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free telephone number. 855-PATS-500. Toll-free. Ring it up. Let's go. Webradio@patriots.com. The email address. Start firing them off. Your nitpicks, your superlatives, your surprises from Sunday night. Hit me up on Twitter, @JRBroadcaster. Had a bunch of new Twitter followers lately, and I thank you for those. And if you're not on board, let's go. What are you waiting for? @JRBroadcaster. That's where you find me on Twitter. John.Rook on Facebook as well. If you want to be a Facebook friend, R-O-O-K-E is the last name. Submit the friend request, and then you can post, and you can chat during the shows. And we can even have off-air conversations. If I'm online, you catch me online, you see me online, you want to fire off a question, you have a comment, do it. Keep it civil. That's all I ask. So there's several different ways that you grab us here in the program, and that's how we do it. Couple of things right off the bat. Of course, naturally, Boomer Sooner himself, Stripper, says, I got OU 45, Texas 20. That's probably about right, Strippers, unfortunately. But like I said, I'm gonna stay with my boys. I'm going to stay with my boys. I'm going to be a hopeless optimist. Even though Texas cannot score its way out of a paper bag, I think the defense keeps the Longhorns in this game. And I think Texas somehow manages to hold on, probably loses about 23-17 in the end. That's kind of what I'm thinking this week. All right? So, you know. But then again, last year I thought OU would beat Texas, and what happened? You lost to Colt's little brother. So I don't know what to tell you about that one, brother. We just have to play it, see how it goes. To the phones. We'll lead it off with our buddy Steve in Killeen, Texas. Steve, you're in the playbook.
Hey, afternoon, John.
Hi, Steve.
I guess my superlative has to do with the honoring of Leah Steele and just the class act that the Patriots are. That's one of the things that I love about being a fan. You know, following 9/11, Robert comes out and says, we're all Patriots. And then they honor this little girl and her struggle with this battle for cancer. Mm-hmm. And for me, there's another little ironic twist. My youngest son was born at that hospital.
Really?
So,
wow.
Yeah, I was actually in Cincinnati working as a consultant for Ford Motor Company at that point in time. So.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah, I took
picking up a 75 Bengals jersey and just putting Leah Strong on it and adding it to my Patriots collection.
That's a great idea. You know, that was really neat to be a part of. You know, when we found out that that was something they were planning, so I was happy to be a small part of that and send out the message. And it's amazing that the whole thing is sort of caught on fire and that they're able to raise the kind of money they have for her medical bills. And yeah, it's neat to see, you know, people come together, you know, for somebody who's in need. That makes you feel good inside, and I totally agree with that. It was very appropriate and very cool for the Patriots to jump on that bandwagon.
And now to the Knicks, John. You know, this is a 43-17 win, but if you change those five field goals into touchdowns, now we're at 60.
Attaboy. Attaboy. See, now that's a Steve. That's a good one. That's actually one that I, you know, kind of slipped through me because I've kind of been too close to the forest and can't see all the trees with this one. But I think that's as good as any. That, you know, it's too bad that some of those field goals weren't converted into touchdowns and that, you know, a beating didn't turn into an ass whooping. And,
exactly.
And it certainly could have, and it was very close to that. And I think in order for this team to be able to still compete with Denver, and now don't look now, but San Diego is turning into a pretty solid football team as well. And you got to play them in San Diego this year. Just ask the Jets how they're feeling about the Chargers right now. You're going to need that kind of offensive production in the red zone in order to beat those teams.
Yeah, and the other superlative, John, would be the fact that we just kind of pinned our ears back and played like we could play. You know, that's the one thing that I've been hoping to see, that we just get this attitude and the level of piss-offedness, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term, would come forth. And you'd actually see it reflected on the field and the emotion and in the gameplay.
I love that. That's great, piss-offedness.
The other thing that got me, though, are the penalties. And I know some of the calls were, you know, the normal ticky-tack calls from the refs. But those things that killed our drives and kept the Bengals' drives alive with just not smart play frustrated me, too. So those would be my nits and my superlatives. And, you know, but now we're on to Buffalo.
That's an excellent phone call. That's good stuff, Steve, and you're right, on to Buffalo. But first, we're going to nitpick a little bit.
All right, sir.
Thank you, buddy. John. All right, talk to you soon. Oh, shoot. I let him go. I was going to say, I was going to ask if you're going to get up to the state fair, Steve. So send me a note back and let me know if you're getting up to the state fair this week. You know, I'd like to know what fried delicacy that you're going to get to try. Still miss the corn dogs. I understand, believe it or not. Kevin, I understand that the new food or the new treat at the Texas State Fair this week, believe it or not, is fried sweet tea. Can you believe that?
How do you consume that?
I don't know. Might have to look that one up.
It wouldn't be a liquid anymore, right?
That's my understand. I don't know how you fry sweet tea. I really don't know how you do that. and how they'd be consumed, if that's a liquid or it's frozen and then you deep fry it, which is the way they do with a lot of liquids. They freeze them and like a popsicle or whatever, and then you put like a quick fry on it. I really don't, or you coat it with some kind of coating. I don't know how you do that. Bizarre, huh? But that's what I heard, fried sweet tea. Justin in Virginia, you're up next in the playbook. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what up, John?
What up?
I'm as negative as you, if not more, and honestly, I can't find much that really displeased me heavily this game.
Okay.
I think the drops from Gronk were a little too much,
mm-hmm.
and I think that needs to stop sometime soon, mm-hmm. but I really think this was an amazing game. I never thought they could do it. You remember my pick? I had them going some like 43-13 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, look, the Bengals were on top of everyone's power ranking. Everyone. And that had to have been somewhat, what's the word? That had to have been somewhat scary. And they beat them. Like, there's no excuses for it. They blew them out. They beat them. It was done by the time it was 14-0. They just weren't coming back.
Right, right. Absolutely.
And the thing with the defense that I kind of felt like the defense was always at least good, but the way Bill was using it wasn't good. And I think the offensive line was better than it was made out to be, because Bill handled that situation badly too.
Well, let's not heap a bunch of praise yet on the offensive line. They took a great big step forward, I thought, on Sunday night.
I know it's only one game, but it says something, though. It says something.
Sure it does. Sure it does. But you had no other place. I would argue that you had no other place to go, that they were about as rock bottom as an NFL offensive line could be. So they really could not have dropped any further than where they were after the Kansas City game. So they really had nothing to do but improve. Now, what I want to see from here, they certainly took that step. It was a necessary step, a needed step. To me, it was an expected step. Maybe it was a little bigger step than I think you or I or anybody reasonably could have expected. So now all I want to see is consistency and continuity. You know, I thought Brian Stork had a magnificent game at center, and I think he's the man, and I think it's his ball game from here on out. And I think they look to solidify a little bit at the guard position with both Wendell and Connolly. Even though Connolly had an abysmal cutback block that absolutely nuked a drive. You know, I think it was, second quarter? I'll have to look back at it again.
Yeah.
That was an egregious mistake that should never have happened. And to me, looking at it on film shows me that, you know, I don't know that either A, he was just stupid on the play, or B, hasn't been coached as to what a crackback is. And if that's the case, well, then shame on the coaches.
I understand your point, but for my last point, I know we have to look at the whole season as a whole, and we can't just look at this game. This game says something about the ceiling. It says something about the ceiling that if we still can do better than this, then we still have great things possible. We can still go maybe 12-4 or 11-5, and I'm not even saying Super Bowl is that out of range right now.
Well, I don't think we need to go ahead of ourselves, because, first of all, we all decided before this season started that anything short of the Super Bowl would be a disappointment. I'm still sticking with that. But considering that we overestimated, I think, reasonably, what this team might have really held for itself talent-wise, then, if this team, if you look at it in a bigger picture point of view, then this team reaching that stage would certainly be considered a victory of sorts. But it's what we've still expected. So what I think we need to do is just put aside December and January for now, and let's see if this team can continue to improve itself week to week to where it can get back to a familiar phrase and a familiar spot that we all expected them to be in the first place.
I agree. Consistency is the word, and thank you, John.
Appreciate it, Justin. Thank you for the phone call. Let's continue on here. 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. The Ace Ticket Hotline, of course, is 508-298-0398. Web radio at patriots.com. The email address at JRBroadcaster on Twitter. John.Rook on Facebook. Here's Jason in Georgia. Hey, Jason.
Hey. Yeah, I called in after the Week 3 Oakland game. And I didn't know what to think about our team even after the win. But I said that after week four, our answers will be given to us, whether it will be bad or good. It will be after week four where we can see where this team will be progressing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad for last night, for, you know, last Sunday night's game.
Mm-hmm.
I still have nitpicks, though, but I'm worried about Ryan Waddell at the right guard spot because he was a decent center, but he was still letting up blocks while he was at the center, and I'm not sure how he's going to transition into a guard
right
later on. Aaron Dobson still needs to be brought into the fray. He needs to start picking up the playbook faster and getting on. I like the catch that he got, but that needs to happen more often.
Agreed. I think those are two good ones.
Brady needs to start hitting the deep ball well. I know he can hit it in the middle of the field, but on the outside, he still has trouble, like the one to Edelman, where Edelman clearly beat his own man and then beat the safety, but Brady somehow leaned it towards the middle, and Edelman couldn't, you know, break off his route a little bit and recover the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, yeah, passes to Gronkowski when he's going across the middle for some reason. He's still throwing it too low for Gronkowski.
Well, I think that's and I'm glad you brought that one up because that's another one that's kind of like whoosh, gone over my head here because I looked at the whole six-catch, 100-yard big-picture performance that Gronk had, and clearly he's taken a step back toward being the old Gronk. He's not there yet, but he did take a step just like the offensive line did, so you have to be somewhat gratified with that. He still dropped a couple of more throws. You make a very good point about Brady because, and frankly, this is what I really think, Jason. I think Brady needs to do a better job of hitting him in the hands or hitting him between the 8 and the 7 because with all that body armor that he's got on him, I don't know how flexible he is to turn back for the ball. Now, a couple of times it looked like it hit him in the hands and he just fumbled it and couldn't hold it.
Yeah, but I think Gronk had like two drops, but the rest of the passes were like really low, like below his knee.
Right, the incompletions, yes, I agree. And so that's got to come up because I don't think Gronk is in position now to be able to stretch and make the superlative play that he once could make. He's still got a ways to go, and he may never really get back to that point. So Brady's got to worry about putting the ball in a different spot for him, and I think that's a great, great point by you.
He still needs to develop some more trust with Brandon LaFell. They need to get some understanding together. When Brandon LaFell broke off his route for some reason when he was at least semi-open for Brady to throw a deep ball, he just stopped deadly.
Yeah, he did. I was kind of scratching my head on that one, too. I don't know if he figured, like, well, the ball's going over my head, or I don't have any. You should never. I mean, that shouldn't happen.
Just break off your route.
Yeah, I don't think you should break off your route. That's too dangerous. What if there's a safety that's back there that you don't see, and that safety picks it off? I just think breaking off a route is almost inexcusable.
Yeah, I'm hoping Amendola doesn't get injured, man. When he got knocked out and dizzied for a moment, I was again.
Well, you know, here's the problem I think with Danny Amendola. When the Patriots picked him up, they thought that he had the ability to play, you know, wide, when really what he is a higher priced version of Julian Edelman, and I think we've discussed that, and I think most fans probably realize that by now, that he was Wes Welker. But then they go out and they find Edelman, who is not only Welker, but he's a cheaper Welker, and he actually is maybe even a better Welker in some instances. Amendola isn't quite good enough to be the wide, and right now he's not good enough to beat out Edelman. And so what you do is you kind of pick and choose your spots with him. And the problem is that when you pick and choose your spots, you're still kind of largely using him over the middle, and he is susceptible to getting hurt. And that's why I don't think he'd ever make a slot receiver, and that's why I don't expect him to be here longer than his contract would allow him to be here for, because the Patriots have evolved to the point where they really can't utilize what he's worth. And if this team is going to stay true to what they've all shown us they are, and that is that they value a player's worth, then if they're going to give up on a guy like Logan Mankins because he makes too much money, why are we keeping Danny Amendola?
Yeah. Well, I still have a nitpick on defense. They still, their run stop, it doesn't I don't know what it is, man. There's something about the other team still gashing us in the middle. There was like two or three occurrences where Giovanni Bernard or Jeremy Hill, the other running back for Cincinnati, kept going through our middle and kept chugging along. For even though there was one time like the entire team was in a ball, yet the ball kept moving forward for two, three extra yards, and it wasn't until Wilfork or someone else just started pushing it all back that it stopped.
Well, part of that is because you give a little credit, I think, to the Cincinnati offensive line for winning the point of attack, and because the Patriots were largely playing a lot of 52 the other night, that there just wasn't much run support once you got past the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and I hope Jamie Collins starts running back into form. He didn't look right in the game. I don't know what it was. But
I think your nitpick there, Jason, is a byproduct of Dante Hightower not being around.
Oh, okay.
And if once Hightower is able to get back in there, hopefully that won't be as much of a problem.
All right. My pleasant surprise was just Tim Wright. I'm so glad he did.
Yeah. Yeah. I had immediately a couple of people tweet me after the game saying, wow, you know, for the first time since that whole Aaron Hernandez fiasco, we look like we have another option at tight end.
Yeah,
wouldn't it be great if we got back to it?
Number 81. He's catching it.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, obviously it's ironic that he's wearing the same jersey number, but I don't want to quite go there yet because he's not the blocker.
Yeah, he's still
that right. Hernandez was. He's a different receiver. He's more of a wide, whereas Hernandez was more of an H-back type. So that's a little different, but I understand the premise, and you put them on the field at the same time, you're going to get single coverage. You really can't afford to double, because if you do, you're going to get burnt up the seam somewhere. That does excite me for the foreseeable future.
And another praise for the team is how they came all together and just huddled up and said, trust your man, and then I'll trust you to do your job as you trust me to do my job.
Right.
And that's all you have to do this week.
Right.
Now it's preached throughout the locker room, according to Darrell Revis.
Correct.
And the emotion that came out of that was just seen through from the first snap till, I want to say, the Arrington touchdown. You could see that all across the entire team.
I agree. It caught fire very quickly, and it was definitely good to see these guys get that chip on their shoulder again, which is what they had.
And they need to roll on with that. They can't let that just die down. They need to do it like the Olympic torch and keep it going.
And that's why this week it's hashtag on to Buffalo.
Yeah, but I'm not looking for, I've completely thrown the schedule out of my mind, and I'm only looking forward to the next game. I'm not looking forward.
Atta baby.
2 weeks from now.
I think that if you
are, teams after that.
If you're going to be a Patriot fan this year, I think it behooves you to not look ahead. I totally agree with that. Hashtag on to Buffalo.
No, thanks, Rook.
Good stuff, Jason. That's a great phone call today. Dave in Connecticut. Hey, Dave, you're in the playbook.
Hey. That's good. A couple guys throwing away thunder already. I mean, the guy from Texas is pretty funny.
Dave, hold on. I gotta put you back on hold because your phone signal is awful. So if you're talking through the computer, I'm gonna ask you potentially to pick up the phone and try to make that call. Because if you're talking through the computer, we got about one word out of you on that one. So hopefully we'll get you here. Kev, let's do this. Let's reset and we'll take a break, and hopefully we'll come back with Dave and some other phone calls. 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. If you'd like to jump aboard, now's a good time to do so. Webradio@patriots.com is our email address. Hit me up on Twitter, @JRBroadcaster, and, of course, John.Rook on Facebook. Not only your nitpicks on this Nitpick Tuesday, what surprised you? What was a pleasant surprise? What was a superlative? I've got some to deal your way if you're a doubting Thomas, like so many of you may be, right here inside the playbook.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights, track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha! Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the whole entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Didn't like what you saw from the hometown team last Sunday?
Now Vereen motions into the backfield. And then flexes back out left slot. Low snap at Brady's feet. Picks it up. Brady's in trouble. He's got to throw it away. Passes toward the end zone. Incomplete. With 3 seconds to go.
Killing themselves. You got the ball down inside the nine. You call a timeout. Now it's just make sure we have the right formation. We need motion. We need misdirection. Quarterback can't handle the exchange. It's a low snap.
And I don't think anybody's going to wonder why Tom Brady is irritated right now.
Well, John didn't either.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
It's Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook. Phone in your nitpicks on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PASS-500 or email them to webradio@patriots.com. Now back to the nitwit, I mean nitpick master himself, John Rook.
Or find me on Twitter, at JR Broadcaster. Facebook is John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E. I promised some really good stuff, some superlatives, as I've asked you to include with your nitpicks today. Did you know that since the beginning of the 2003 season, the Patriots are now 36-4 in regular season games following a loss? Now, get out your calculator. Well, you may not even have to. That's 90%, okay? 90% success rate after a loss. They've lost just back-to-back regular season games only four times since 2003. Not bad. And one more. The Patriots are an NFL best 38-9 in the month of October since 2003. At home? Haha. They're almost unbeatable. 23-1. 23-1 at home in October since 2003. Put that in your pipe and smoke it on Nitpick Tuesday, right? Jay from Rochester says, John, got to say that, like you, I thought the Pats would play better this past game, but that the Bengals would probably win a close one. Had not given up on the Pats, but had figured this one as a potential loss even before the season. As for the Nits, I thought that the defensive line did a poor job of pressuring Dalton. Luckily, the secondary did a better job this week. I also hated to see the penalties mount again, although I think quite a few were bad calls. Very ticky-tack calls by the officials is another nitpick. I thought there were some horrible calls that went both ways. Glad to see Brady and Gronk getting back to form, although each had a few bad plays. I'm sure that Brandon LaFell is also getting his share of nits picked his way, but I think he's coming along slowly. In each of the first four games, his receptions have increased. I think Tom is gaining confidence in him. True, he disappeared in the second half and had a couple of drops as well as the missed touchdown, but I thought it was a better defensive play than just a drop. Jay from Rochester. Thank you, Jay. That's also, he mentioned one of the nitpicks that I had in the View from Above column on Patriots.com this week, and I had written that chief for me has to be the 12 penalties for 114 yards. I mean, really. 12 penalties, 114 yards. Whether you think that some of those calls were crappy or not, and I've had several of you mention that as a nitpick, and I think those are legitimate gripes that you have, but 12 for 114, ultimately, you're still responsible. Okay, you can't necessarily blame the officials. You got to take responsibility for it. The Dan Connolly chop block, to me, was egregious. Couple of holding calls as well that, you know, come on, guys. I mean, unless, of course, you know, you have to hold to keep your quarterback from getting decapitated. There's just really no excuse for it anymore. If you're playing the right, if you're going through the right set of fundamentals. Sean from New York writes in, love the show. Listen to you while doing my homework. You make it bearable, so thanks. Well, thank you, Sean. Get back to your homework. Okay. I'll let you do it. It's Nitpick Tuesday. I really want to ask you this question. My friends and I were debating whether the 2011 Super Bowl loss or the 2006 AFC Championship loss was more devastating. I said the 06 AFC title game was worse because the Giants were expected to win that second Super Bowl. We also had an 18-point halftime lead in the conference championship against Peyton Manning in 06. Which would you say was worst? There's no question to me it doesn't make any difference. It's still a Super Bowl loss. It's going to be worse. Why? Because it was a championship. You were there. Had a chance to win it. Win that game, you're champions. No one really remembers the Super Bowl loser. Everybody remembers the Super Bowl winner. The only Super Bowl loser that's really remembered, this week's opponent, because they lost 4 years in a row, the Buffalo Bills. Back to the phones we go. Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, John?
How's it going? Doing? Good, man.
Pretty good. I guess the comment on the nitpick, let's see. Speaking of the holding, was that Dinner that got caught holding on that drive, I think maybe after Pac-Man did that long run? I want to say that was Dinner. Do you recall that series?
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look. I think you might be right. Because I believe he was called for a holding back there. I just not quite sure where it came.
Yeah, I thought those were, through my knowledge, if I can remember correctly, I think that was him. And it was weird to me that he got two. Like I said, as far as being nitpicky, I mean, first of all, the ball wasn't thrown his way, and there were very, very useless penalties that could, you know, help, you know, keep the drive going. But I hate being nitpicky with you know, with them being actually playing a good game.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen one in so long, but you know, I just think that's kind of a bonehead thing to do than to do the same thing twice and get called for the same penalty twice in, you know, one series.
True.
Now, was that him also that gave up that long touchdown pass?
Yes, it was. The one that by to Mohamed Sanu, yes. And that really, I mean, that may not have been. No, I don't think so. I'm trying to remember. I'm pretty sure that was Harmon, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was Daron Harmon, because you remember, you know, McCourty had injured his ribs earlier in the game. And so now if McCourty had been in there, who's to say that McCourty doesn't come over and help out defensively on that play? I think that was Harmon, but still it's Dennard's responsibility, and he got beat up the seam.
Okay. Yeah, like, I thought being nitpicky, I thought he had a kind of couple of little kind of careless thing. It seemed like he just kind of,
well,
I don't know.
I agree with you, Melvin, because Dennard was, he's one of my nitpicks that I wrote about today, for earlier today on the View from Above. And I realize that's probably a little unfair because he had missed the previous three games, largely due to the shoulder injury. But if you're going to be in there, number one, if you're well enough to play, then you got to do your job. It's that simple. And that shows me as well that if, you know, he was expecting help over the top and McCourty wasn't in the game, you know, McCourty's a little different level than Daron Harmon, with all due respect. So I would tell you, you can't depend on somebody else to help you out there. You got to do your job, and I think he got caught there.
Right, right. Then being on the positive side, I know you wanted to talk about the one positive. I think, did I see this correctly, that Cincinnati was 0-for-7 on third down?
Were they 0-for-7 on third down? I got to look at the stats again. You guys are throwing numbers out at me. For some reason or another, I don't have them. That might very well be the case. If they were 0-for-7 on third down, that's remarkable.
I want, like I said, don't hold me to that. I thought I saw that. It could be true, could not. But anytime, I know they had trouble on third down. So I think that would be the thing that I was not expecting from this team was you know, getting off the field on third down, which is good. I hope they continue to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to talk about that every week for them being a defense they could get out the field like that. That would be,
yes, they were 0-for-7 on third down. You are correct.
Great.
0-for-7 on third down, 0-for-1 on fourth down. That's right. So I just had to go back and double check, but you are correct. So yeah, that's a wonderful superlative. I mean, to keep somebody from converting on third down, man, you're going to win that football game.
Right, right. So if you can do it, they can keep going. But one last thing that I'll say that, I have to talk about, which is still being nitpicky. I know I could talk about this, but every week with the missed tackles, I feel like during the beginning of the game, and they kind of got stopped, kind of got sloppy sometimes with there, but sometimes, man, with that reverse, we had them oh, God, you know, with just certain stuff, I want them to, the first person to get back there. I know maybe I'm being nitpicky. Well, this is Tuesday, so I can be as nitpicky as I want, but get him down. Like the first, you know, when you get, when, you know, every single time we play, if that's a Denver or the Chargers or something like that, a play like that, I mean, you had him fall off the scene.
Mm-hmm.
He was right there coming to the face. I don't know if that was Nico or not. I can't remember. But, man, when you have an opportunity like that to be able to get people down, there were some other mistakes in there, but that one just really stood out.
Yeah, that was a good one. You're right. That was a chance to have a big impact play. You're right.
Right. There's a big difference in second and 19 and second and 10.
No question.
You let them off the hook, and you let them back. Give them, you know, that's not too much of a game, but you've got to – it's impact plays like that that I think is –
Well, we lost Melvin. Thank you, Melvin. Appreciate that. And your points are spot on. DeMarco in St. Louis up next here in the playbook. Hey, DeMarco. Hello, DeMarco.
Yes.
You're with us, buddy.
Yeah, my concern is I was more curious to see when we get Brandon Browner back, how much do you think that would help out the defensive backfield for the Patriots?
Well, I think it'll help significantly. You know, I'm only mildly surprised that he wasn't eligible last week, but I guess they feel like that he needed to be a little bit more in football shape. I thought with some of the potential injuries that were back there that there was a chance at least that he could have been activated. But I think he'll be a little closer to, you know, what you're hoping for and what we're all kind of expecting this week. And especially in light of the fact that Alphonso Dennard really did not have a great game on Sunday night, as he continues also to work himself back into, you know, decent football shape after missing 3 weeks, then the depth there is going to help considerably. Now, you have to remember that during the preseason and during the training camp time, he had a particular problem with defensive holding and pass interference calls, and that cannot be tolerated in games that count now. So it'll be interesting to see how he approaches things.
Okay, and also, do you think our depth is strong enough to where, worst case scenario, later in the year, if we have any problems with, like, I would like to say Revis, or say if Browner were to go down and they have to slide like McCourty.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's enough depth there. It'll be curious to see what they end up doing with a guy like Malcolm Butler if he gets released, or they, you know, keep him, you know, on the practice squad. I know they really like him, the rookie free agent. I think there's depth there, but I don't think you want to go too far past, say, you know, your front line, because right now, if you have everybody healthy, backing up Revis, you probably. You know, I'm thinking out loud here. In a perfect world, it'd be Revis and Browner at your corners, and then you probably have Dennard playing your slot. That would be in my perfect world, although they really like Kyle Arrington in the slot. So you could put Arrington over to one corner, and you could put Dennard over there as the second unit. And then you have guys like Logan Ryan and Malcolm Butler that can also fill in. Logan Ryan had 2-3 good games actually to start the season. The last 2 weeks, I think he's been miserable. So I think they can, you know, to answer your question, I think that they would be okay, but, you know, I don't know how okay. They could probably be at least as good as anybody else in terms of their depth.
Okay. And another thing I'd like to elaborate on is, like, our outside receivers, I really believe we got to get something going because, you know, it's a season pickup. I'm kind of concerned about us just being an inside passing threat in the middle. We got to get to that outside because it just seems like the stronger teams that we play deeper down in the year, they will be able to hold up a little more and, you know,
Sure. Well, I think you saw a little of that. You saw a little of that last week Brandon LaFell continuing to have the ball go toward him and Aaron Dobson as well, and hopefully that will continue to increase. Yes, they need to be able to get outside because teams are basically clogging the middle and daring the Patriots to throw at them, and so that's going to leave the ends open, and you've got to be able to go that direction, and that's where a guy, you know, going up the seam like Gronkowski, who can bust a big one, can also help you in that regard. But, yeah, that's something that has to continue to improve.
Yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to that Denver game. That's what I think is going to place the real marker.
Yeah, but DeMarco. DeMarco. It's hashtag on to Buffalo, baby.
Yeah, Buffalo, yeah. Yeah. So,
thank you. Right. Thank you today.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Appreciate the phone call. Dave in Connecticut. Let's try you again. Hello, Dave.
Hey, John. Sorry about that.
Oh, much better.
Like I was saying, the guy, you know, it's hard to nitpick, but, you know, I kind of was giggling because the guy talked about the five Gronkowski field goals.
Yep.
You know, and I mean, you know, it really could have been a blowout if we were a little tighter in the red zone, if you want to nitpick that. I think, you know, you talked about the penalties.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to stop because I think that eventually – it's going to end up really biting us in the you-know-what in the game.
Right.
It's going to cost us, you know. And, I think that comes with coaching. I think I've been riding Isaac Daniels all year, and I think this is the first time this year that you saw a complete game. You had, 200-some yards on the ground, Brady threw for almost 300. It was a balanced attack. I think that we played a lot better with a chip on our shoulder.
Yeah, but Dave, didn't you feel like there was still something left out on the field, even though you called it a complete game? Didn't you feel like there are other things out there that they could have done better still?
I think it's still a work in progress. I really do. I think I agree with 100%. The offensive line played good, but now it's going to build on it, you know. And, it's one game at a time. We're on to Buffalo, and we'll take Buffalo, and we'll see what happens Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can't look ahead. That's something that this team has never done in its 10-year winning spin. It's always been one game, next opponent. I think we need to keep, you know, you haven't really seen that excitement and just fire, you know, from Tom Brady. I mean, I can remember, Tom Brady tackling players in end zones that caught balls from, like, you know, Deion Branch or Troy Brown. You know, or headbutting the heck out of, you know, Benjamin Watson.
Sure.
Before a game.
Sure.
You know, you don't, and it's nice to see for the first time, you know, that he had that fire again. And and the fans were shouting his, you know, just shouting his name. And I mean, you know, we're a team that's going to be there in the end. We all know that. Okay.
Well, you hope.
Well, you hope.
But we saw some encouraging signs. We saw some signs of this team showing some of the flash that it's given us over the last few years.
Yeah.
So I still think there's some gas in the tank, but it's going to take, I think, a different kind of effort to see that kind of performance comes out every week. Because I really don't believe that this team from top to bottom is as talented as the teams we've seen in the recent past.
No, I'll give you that, but I think it's also the coaching staff. You know, I understand, you know, Gronkowski is still not 100%, but I've been clamoring for, the other tight end, you know, for 3 weeks. Where has he been? You traded Logan Mankins, one of your best linemen, for this kid, and you're not putting him on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you put him on the field with Gronkowski, and they lit it up. Okay, you know, that goes back to the game plan. You know, I mean, you know, Josh, to me, sometimes gets really mundane the way he calls the games.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And you know, he needs to open it up. And if that, you know, if that's, like you said, I don't think they are as talented as the past teams. But that's okay. I think they are talented enough to get to the Super Bowl. and win the Super Bowl, whatever happens.
Well, we thought originally, Dave, before the year started, that was the case. And now that the season has unfolded and we've seen these 5 weeks and we've seen what the results have been, we've kind of, I think, dialed back, and rightfully so, our evaluation on some of these guys.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that some of these guys can't continue to grow into the expectations that we originally had for them. Big difference. They're not ready now. Let's hope that they're ready by December.
But you know what? Isn't that ultimately what you want to be as a team?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In December?
Absolutely.
So, you know, I don't be facetious, but in a sense, that's a good thing that we haven't seen their best ball yet, or what we expect to see as their best ball yet.
Right.
Okay? And, you know, as a fan, just sit back and enjoy this because, you know, Tom Brady's not going to be around much longer. And, you know, as Patriot fans, we're spoiled. I mean, I look around the league, and I have friends who are like Brown fans, and, you know, they're like, I would give anything to have somebody like Tom Brady as my quarterback. You know, of course they would. But he fell to us, and he's given us some, this run, which is magical, and I just don't think he's ready to end it yet. We'll see what happens.
I don't think he's ready to end it yet either, and I think that was one of the most pleasant surprises from Sunday night, is that we saw the old Tom, we saw the fire, we saw everything out there, and Brady is one of those unique athletes, and thanks for the phone call, Dave. He's one of those unique athletes, like Michael Jordan in his past, and Larry Bird, and some of the other greats that have ever played their respective sports. And those obviously are two huge basketball examples. But they have the ability, these special athletes, to make others around them better. It's not quite as obvious in football because football requires 11 people all on the same page, and that's a pretty difficult thing to do. But most of the time, you find players like that in skill positions, whether they're a running back or a quarterback or even sometimes in a wide receiver. I think Jerry Rice was one of those special athletes. I think Joe Montana was definitely one of those special athletes. There are other examples that go on in different sports. But Brady is one of those guys. He's just one of those rare people that we've been blessed with over the years that has the ability, just for some reason or another, to make others click. I just if you go on to, I think I retweeted this today. Let me check my tweets here. But I retweeted earlier today about a story from a former Patriot who was a center here back in 05 or 06, and he did a great piece on, I think it was Bleacher Report or something like that today. I'll see if I can find it and come up with it during another break when I can get into the Twitter account a little bit more deeply here. But it was spot on about Brady and the kind of competitor that he is. And I think I also posted it on my Facebook page. So if you're there, you can also catch that as well. But to me, it encapsulated everything that we needed to say about Tom Brady today. You know, we pat him on the back. Way to go, Tom. We'd expect nothing less of you. Way to come through. And that's really what it boils down to. That's really what it boils down to. LaShawna in West Palm Beach. Hi, LaShawna.
Hey, John. It's been a long time.
It has been. Thank you for taking the time today. How are you?
I feel like we should play catch up, but I guess we don't have time.
Well, how's West Palm?
You know what? It's hot, but way more humid than Vegas was. I was used to that dry heat out here.
You traded one heat for a different kind.
I did. It's the heat that I can't handle, but I'm dealing with it down here.
That's good to know.
Anyway, I know everybody's harping on Brady as far as his, I guess,
right,
ability or inability, mm-hmm, to throw accurately. And I feel like his problem was more, probably about 80%. Mental and 20% physical.
Yep.
So I think last week what we saw, well, just Sunday, I should say now, Sunday what we saw was him overcome his mental issues that he was dealing with. And that was probably due to his frustrations with his receivers, his frustrations with, you know, Logan Mankins. And I think it kind of just compiled on top of him, and he lost the leadership. Because when you see Brady on the sideline with his head in his hands,
mm-hmm,
what are you telling your teammates?
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like what they were seeing out there.
Yeah,
and I think the leadership was lacking for the first four games.
Right.
And then he picked himself up mentally. Of course, we still see some of his overthrows, his underthrows. and receivers not being on the same page. But I think he's going to get it together. Is he the same guy he was, you know, 2007? No. But at the same time, it's 80% Brady is better than a whole lot of quarterbacks in this in NFL.
I would tend to agree with you on that one, and I think the problem is, though, is that what we've found through the first 4 weeks of the season is that 80% of Brady, with the roster presently comprised as it is, may not be good enough to get you where you want to go. Now, I don't know, I was going to bring this up, you know, since we're now getting into hour two of the program, I was going to bring this up in this hour, but I don't know how many fans have seen the piece that Michael Silver wrote on NFL.com, and if you haven't seen it, slide on over to it for a moment and get a look at it, only because it kind of talks about that a little bit, how there are actually a couple of former Brady teammates who are on the Denver Broncos. They don't get named, but it, you know, really only takes a little bit of elimination to figure out who they might be. And who are basically, you know, saying that Tom has definitely got to be going around. Well, here the quote was. Let me see if I can find the quote here in the piece. Oh, you know he had to be hot, one of Brady's former teammates said Sunday. Look at what he's got, and look at what they give Peyton. How can he not be jealous? Or in the words of another Bronco player, he had to be saying, bleep this bleep. Look at all these weapons Peyton's got. Where are my weapons? What the bleep?
Yeah, I think I was listening to that on with Andy. I think he was quoting the same.
Yeah, and frankly, there's a lot of truth to that, and that's part of what we've been opining about, you know, here and online and everything else over, you know, the Patriots' failure to recognize that they needed more help for Tom, and there really doesn't see there's a disconnect here between being cost conscious and being competitive. And I think the Patriots have misidentified in several areas, and I've gone on record as saying this, and I have no problem saying this. I think that they have misidentified some of these guys in terms of their value, because sometimes talent costs money. And I don't know if this is a disconnect between management and ownership, or if this is completely on management or completely on ownership. That's a question that may not ever get answered. But right now, this is what we're seeing. Peyton gets surrounded by these guys that are dynamite players, and Manning and Brady is surrounded by less so. Now, if the Patriots somehow advance further than Denver this year, well, then where's the last laugh going to be? And I think the Patriots are banking on the guys that they have being able to advance further. I'm not so sure that that's the case, but we're going to find out.
Well, I agree with you, John. The only thing I'd like to add to that portion of it is I think that this is a business, and I think that the Kraft as well as Belichick understand that it's important for them to be competitive every year. And even though they haven't necessarily gotten to won a Super Bowl as mm-hmm. of late, they're okay with being close. They're okay with getting there because it still allows the Patriots to be a very profitable team.
Are you okay with just getting there, though, LaShawna?
I am not.
Well, see,
I'm
that's
a diehard Patriots fan.
Okay, all right.
I'm
then,
tired of it.
All right, then there you go. That's why I asked the question, because you are not unlike millions of other Patriot fans out there, honestly. You're not, everybody shares your same sense of consternation here with the way things have unfolded this year. That it seems like, why are we just happy with making the tournament? And so I would ask you the ultimate question. This has been popular talk show fodder here in New England, in the Boston and Providence areas over the last, you know, several weeks. Are you happy with being relevant, as this team has been relevant for most of the 15 years now that the Bill Belichick regime has been in place? They've been largely relevant. They've gone to 5 Super Bowls, you know, in the previous 14 years and managed to win 3 of them. So if you had a chance to be just getting into the tournament with a shot at getting to the Super Bowl, or if you knew that you could definitely get a Super Bowl title next year, but you had to go 6-10 and miss the playoffs this year, well, what are you taking?
I'll take my 6-10 because I want another ring. I want to be able to gloat and have all of that. So.
And I think most people would agree with you, LaShawna. I think most fans would agree with you, but it's very clear that this is not what this organization is preaching, okay?
I agree with you, John. I think they're preaching we're going to be relevant, and as long as we can be relevant, and they're okay with that. I'm not okay with it as a fan, and I think it's just it's getting so, like, it's like played out now. It's like, all right, we're done with this whole, we're just getting there. We're at the AFC Championship. We're in the Super Bowl. We're not winning. We're not willing to pay anybody. I'm frustrated with that. But my nitpick for the game, I'm going to say, I'll go with Rob Gronkowski as a blocker. I know he's not 100%, but he whipped so bad on the block where I think it was Geno Atkins. He didn't even see him. That's how fast he got off the line.
Yeah.
And I was like, now I know he's not the same as he used to be.
He's still getting back into football shape, but that is a good one. And I had Gronk for a couple of nitpicks as well on one drive when he had the penalty and I think a drop as well. No, yeah, the missed block and the penalty on the same drive, and he almost got Brady killed.
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about.
Yeah. That's the one. That was one of my nitpicks too, LaShawna. Yep.
That's my only nitpick, because I know everybody's going to beat the dead horse with it. But that was, I felt like, wow, I haven't seen him. I've seen him block Cameron Wake, you know, when he's a healthy Gronk.
Right.
Like, he's an average lineman.
Right.
And he made Geno look like, I don't know, like maybe he was running a 3.40 or something.
It was
crazy.
Good stuff. I'm glad you took the time to call. Thank you.
Thank you, Ella.
You got it.
Talking soon.
Got it. Great. Awesome. Thank you, LaShawna in West Palm. Michael in Chicago is up next in the playbook. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, hey, I was just, a lot of people calling in. You know, I know Brady needs weapons. You know, it's understandable. He needs a number one receiver ready. He's long past due since Moss. But I have no damn issue rolling up into somebody's house or they're rolling up in our house and busting him in the damn mouth with his run game. No problem.
Well, that's what they did on Sunday. And I actually, and believe me, that's why I think the offensive line was able to get off untracked as they did, because I'm telling you, offensive linemen like to block straight ahead. And with all the problems they've had in pass blocking, man, let's go run the ball.
You know what? I just put a carpet in my basement. The first drive they drove down and busted those Bengals in the damn mouth, I spilled my beer all over it. I couldn't help it. I was too fired up.
Dude, I want to come watch a game with you.
I'm telling you, man. I don't care. You know what? This year, we got to deal with what we got. Going to the playoffs when it's real cold, I don't care where it's at, bust them in the damn mouth.
I totally agree, man. There's just no other way. There's no other two ways about it. You need to get back to basic, as you put it, mouth-busting football, and drive people straight ahead and make them stop you. And ultimately, Cincinnati could not, and the Patriots blew them up for more than 200 yards in the ground. I thought Vereen ran great, but I thought the gritty yards really came from Ridley, and then he busted one up the left sideline.
Ridley is a good back. Really, he holds on to that ball. He is a good back. He busted it outside. He looks a little wobbly like Marshawn Lynch, too, when he runs.
Yeah, he's got a little of that, like I call, missability. He has that. And I think they showed that may have been one of their best games ever in terms of being a 1-2 punch.
Yep. You know what? And going back to last year, Bill Belichick, I think, is just trying to go back to that basic old grind you into the goddamn dirt until you can't breathe anymore, and then play action.
Yep. And that's what they did.
It keeps Brady safe. It keeps Brady clean. It keeps the offensive line nasty. You know, and you know what? Maybe next year we could get him a receiver. But this year, we got to bust everybody in the damn mouth.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
And you know what? And on the other side of the ball, on the defense, you know, I sent you an email too, but I'm going to say it anyways. He released the Kraken on A.J. Green. He let the pit bull off the cage. You know?
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
And that's what he needs to do every time.
We might have to, Michael, we might have to turn that into another hashtag, release the Kraken.
Yep, that's exactly what he did. He released that Kraken. He opened the cage and let the tiger come out to play.
I like it. I like it. Yeah. It works.
No, for sure.
It works. Good stuff, Michael. That's awesome. Let's go to Kareem in New Jersey. Kareem, you're up next in the playbook.
John, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Kareem.
How are you?
Good.
Good. So I'm going to be the Mr. Optimism this time. I'm happy.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. That first drive of the game, I think it was a beautiful, loud statement that Brady had to make. The offense has to make that. The very emotional game. You can tell that everybody was engaged. Everybody said, well, let's do this, you know? And as I said, going back, as you guys said also, going back to basics was just really good. I think the offensive line did a phenomenal job. And I think they actually showed us that they're going to get better after the during the Kansas City game. No matter, I know the loss was rough. But I think personally that the offensive line got better while we're playing in Kansas. other than that, my nitpick would be the release of
Kimbrel Tompkins.
Kimbrel Tompkins. I mean, I think Bill Belichick said, "Well, let's shut everybody up," right? I think he did that with a win, and then Pryor is like, "Okay, well, you guys don't like my decision. Here, take this one."
Yeah.
I'm
well.
Like, yeah, be kidding me.
Well, where Tompkins is concerned, I kind of understood it. I was a little surprised when I first heard it.
Uh-huh.
But I understood it, you know, after giving a little bit of reflection for two reasons. Number one, they were one receiver too heavy on the roster already.
Okay.
So because they normally carry six, they had seven. So because of that, I knew that there was a chance that one receiver somewhere is going to be odd man out. I wasn't sure if they really were that enamored with Brian Timms or not. It turns out that they were, which means somebody else has got to go when they fell depth-wise a little bit shy in the linebacking core because they had to deactivate Dante Hightower last week. So they brought up Jagerrod Davis, and it's a numbers game. And Belichick did talk about that after the game, and I think he mentioned again earlier in one of the conference calls that he had today that he was hoping that Tompkins would slip through and not be claimed. He was claimed by Oakland, so now he's off to the Oakland Raiders, who clearly have their own, you know, issues. And I think there'll be opportunity for Tompkins in Oakland. But, you know, sometimes that's just what happens. And it's a numbers game. And I'm sure that they don't really like the fact that they've taken their time and their efforts into, you know, teaching up, if you will, coaching up a player like Kimbrel Tompkins, who was an undrafted free agent, all of a sudden to let him go loose after a year and a half. Nobody likes that. But again, right. This is just part of the business of football right now, and
right. It's
one of those things.
But here's my question, John. I mean, you would know an answer to this better, and I know we've been talking about it, but wouldn't it be more feasible and more sense, and I know it's two different things, letting one go and having a trade, for Danny Amendola to give us some money and part ways?
The problem with Amendola is that right now his nut is a little bit too large for this team to crack, I think salary cap-wise and everything else. I don't expect Amendola to be around next year. I think it's 2 years anyway. I think there was an option for a third or something like that. I don't have the contract figures in front of me, so I'd have to look at it. But I think it would cost them too much to cut him. And I still feel like overall they feel like Amendola is a better option when push comes to shove than a guy like Kimbrel Tompkins. Now, this is because they just don't want to swallow what his contract calls for. So they're keeping Amendola. Plus, they're also keeping Amendola around in case something happens to Edelman.
Right.
Because Edelman plays a position as a slot receiver, that is conducive to taking your fair share of physical punishment. So they're hoping between the two, they have that position solidified this year. But I'll be a little bit more than surprised if Amendola, if his this year continues to kind of go the way that it has, I'll be more than surprised if they keep him around.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, God forbid anything happened to Edelman. I'd rather have Austin Collins than Amendola. But
well,
rough, man.
I hope we don't have to go that route.
I know, absolutely. But you know what? After all, it was a great game, great feel. It seemed like, you know, we all got back on the page again as fans, of
right.
course. I mean, nothing is perfect. A lot to be working on. But, I mean, you can tell, all right, we're ready. And, again, the Bengals, as a team, it was a big test for us. And I think we just proved something, which was really good.
Right.
I just hope we're consistent. I hope we are getting better. I mean, as I said, Gronk is getting healthier and healthier. I hope to God he just comes back strong, you know.
Yep.
And Brady is just making plays again, and I hope to see more deep throws.
That's what we need to look for. That would be a step in the right direction. I think he was what, 5 of 8 on throws over 15 or 20 yards this week. So that's again another step in the right direction, but that also comes with the ability to stretch the field with those receivers and a guy like Gronk as he gets healthier.
Absolutely. All right, John, always good talking to you. I'll leave some room for other people to talk and enjoy your show.
Thanks,
buddy.
Thanks.
Always a pleasure.
Good, Kareem. Good to talk to you. Let's get Pete in Augusta. Is that in Maine, Pete?
Yep.
Hi, Pete in Augusta, Maine. You're in the playbook.
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going with you?
Oh, not bad. Just wanted to say my nitpick was play calling, but not so much this game. I think it's improved a lot. It's not great, but I think they got to stick with the run game as much as they possibly can. And to add to the fact of, like you was asking for a question with, whether you buy into going all out with having the management, the ownership go in to get stars on their team to make the team great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy into that because it, every year it's put them there in the playoffs, and I think you get there's a certain amount of luck to going so far with your team with you know they get lucky because of some reason that goes into any NFL team can win a game. I mean, you look at last night's Monday night game, and for a long time the Redskins were in it,
right?
And they're on the low end of the scale as far as NFL teams go, but they hung in there. And if something goes bad, it's like with Seattle, they could have ended up winning that game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like so. Every year we seem to get in the playoffs and everything, so you're close. So if you take yourself out by, I don't think the fans, you know, they may call in and like to say, well, yeah, we'd like to win the Super Bowl this one year, okay? But then you're going to have two or three years where you may not even be in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They would not be happy with that at all. And the thing is, look at Denver last year. They made it all that way and then got blown up in the Super Bowl. And you know how they felt after that happened to them. So how can you, I mean, that would be very disappointing. Okay, if they don't make it back this year, then all this money that they've thrown, well, all this talk about Manning having more weapons than Brady, yeah, that's fine. But the thing of it is, they didn't win the Super Bowl last year. And it's not a given that they're going to get there again this year.
Right.
So I just don't buy into my answer to your question there. I don't buy into going all out and getting everybody that they can get. They can possibly spend money. You only got so much money to spend anyway.
Well, but so, you're right because there is a salary cap in place. But, Pete, wouldn't it be great? And, again, I'm just playing devil's advocate with you here, okay? Wouldn't it be great to see them go out and get, you know, a receiver that you know could stretch the field or an impact player somewhere in an effort to give Tom Brady a target that, you know, could help him, you know, break games open like what we saw on Sunday?
Well, actually, John, I think that, what's his name that they just picked up, the tight end?
Tim Wright? Tim Wright?
Yeah, right. You saw it sparkled in this last game what he can do. Okay. You got to give that time to work. Okay. If that turns out, more and more people will forget about the whole thing with the Mankins thing. Okay. And I'm not leaning one way or another on the Mankins trade. But the thing of it is if that turns out good with Wright, hey, we got somebody. Bill is going to look good in making that trade.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just the fact that he got the player, it's the money, and Mankins was going to be up for a deal anyway. So, I mean, you know, these people thinking of him. They want to blame him so much for the players that he doesn't get these star players
okay. All
the time.
Okay. All right. Yeah, clearly your point of view is well taken, and I would say that you must be Bob Kraft's Uncle Pete, right?
You got it.
No, I'm just kidding with you. Just kidding with you, Pete. No, I understand your point of view, and I see where you fall in line with that. And clearly there are many others that would also agree with you because they believe in the way the Patriots have been successful over 15 years.
Can I give you another small example?
Sure.
Look at what they did last year. They did so much with so less. I mean, they got all the way to the AFC Championship game. Okay, and yeah, if they had a little more in that game, okay, and I don't think the play calling in that game was good. Mm-hmm. I don't think they should have came out and ran the ball. They knew Blunt was doing good, so who do you think Denver was keying on?
Yeah.
Okay. They should have came out passing the ball and set the run up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can't you? Okay, you answer this question. Can't you set the run up with
sure
pass?
Sure you can.
So you can do it the other way around.
Sure you can.
Come on. If you look at a team, no matter who you're playing, okay, what are they strong against and what are they weak against?
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing of it is if they're going to expect something from a team by watching your film and what you've been doing, and you come out and do the same thing, and if they're good enough to defend it, okay, they're going to stop you. Okay?
Right.
So you're going to have to come up with something different,
right.
a screw in the mix to try to find some other plays.
Well, that's part of actually, Pete. That's actually part of the problem that they've had, and part of the nitpicking that we've done on the Patriots over the first 4 weeks of the year is they haven't been versatile enough to recognize that the opportunity is there in front of them. This last week, this past game against Cincinnati, they actually got back to some of the basics that several people, including myself and many others, have been crying for them to do. Let's emphasize the run. Let's go after it. Let's use the run to set up everything else that you have at your disposal offensively.
Because running in football isn't dead. Okay.
Yes, we know this.
You guys want to say it's a passing league. It's not a passing league.
Well,
okay. You got to still run the ball.
You do. You still have to run the ball, but there's no question that it's still a pass-first league. And, Pete, I got to let you go because I'm kind of up against a break and a guest coming up with the program, and thank you for the phone call. You make some very strong points today. Good phone calls today. All right, quick timeout. And then Eric Friends, who normally joins us on Tuesdays to be a part of the nitpicking and also begin turning the page toward, as we've said today, hashtag On to Buffalo. Eric Friends covers the AFC East and the Patriots for Boston.com, and he's coming up next in the playbook.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Jack it up.
It's the first time I've heard this place this loud in 2 years.
I haven't heard it this loud since Show Ponies.
We might bring that out tonight. It's great to have these night games. Get liquored up and make some noise.
Tom takes the shoulder high snap. Pressured from his right. Runs up the middle. Runs across the 10. Angles left and hits the deck with a slide inside the 8.
Look at Brady pop up. You tell me this doesn't mean anything to him? That he's become complacent 15 years into it?
You know, we got off to a great start. So I think we talked about that all week. It was a long week for everybody, so we wanted to start fast, and we got ahead. We played from ahead for once. We ran the ball great.
High formation. Kuhn in motion right to left. Brady gives to Ridley. Up the middle. Into the end zone. Touchdown! Patriots!
Houdet! Big boy drive to start the game.
Brady with a play fake to Ridley. Throws down the middle. Catch is made by White. Tumble again. Touchdown, Patriots!
You know, when you score, you're going to have emotion. When you give up scores and turn the ball over and don't do well, it's, you know, got to generate some plays to generate that. So, yeah, went down and scored. Of course, we're excited. We should be. It's hard to do in this league.
Brady in the gun. Takes the snap. Tom drops back. Pocket holds. Throws to Gronk. Across the middle. Breaks a tackle. Across the 30. Left sideline 20. Gronkowski takes the spill. Fitting way for Tom Brady to reach 50,000 yards passing in his career with a strike to Rob Gronkowski.
You know, like I said, I'm a lucky guy. 50,000 yards. Played in the best place, you know, in the league for a long time. Playing for the best owner and the best coach.
Shotgun snap to Tom. Throws down the middle for Gronk at the 5. Out of a tackle. Into the end zone. On his feet with a touchdown for the Patriots.
Smooth.
I told my brother before we came to the game, I go, I'm going to make 12 look like Tom Brady again today, baby. And I went out there with my teammates, and we made Tom Brady look like Tom Brady after you guys were criticizing him all week. The fans, everything. And it feels so good, and he's such a leader. And he went over 50,000 yards today. He's an unbelievable player, and I'm so glad to play with him.
The Patriots can celebrate the final 20 seconds. Well, after all, the sky did not fall on Foxborough this week. New England comes back after the loss to Kansas City and thrashes Cincinnati by a 43-17 final.
That's good stuff right there, Kevin Collins. Way to go, buddy. Put together by our very capable producer. Or all things Patriots.com radio. All right, so on a couple of more superlatives as we get back in here for the final hour of the playbook on a Tuesday, Nitpick Tuesday. How about the Patriots now have 32 straight home wins against AFC conference opponents? Yep, 32 straight home wins against AFC teams. And then another one for you. The Patriots recovered 3 opponent fumbles for the first time since 2012. Got 3 Cincinnati fumble recoveries, converted those into 13 points, which was even bigger. And so the Patriots now, after 5 weeks, find themselves tied at the top of the NFL in turnover differential and the giveaway takeaway after taking a step back against Kansas City, but picking up the turnovers that they did against the Bengals, well, they're back up on top again. In fact, they're sharing that top with this week's opponent in the Buffalo Bills. More on that, more on the Nitpicks as well. Eric Friends, who covers the Patriots in the AFC East for Boston.com. He joins us here in the playbook. Hey, Eric, how's it going today?
Doing a lot better than it was last week. How are you doing?
Oh, you're not kidding. What a difference a week makes. I mean, it was almost like one of those New England nor'easters, blowing all of the acidity and the humidity and all the crap and all of the pollen and all of the just all the stuff out of the air, and you're left with nothing but clean freshness behind.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, you know, last week was definitely one of the tougher weeks around Gillette Stadium. We haven't been back yet, but it'll be interesting to see the mood and how different it is this week. I can tell you after the game, it was like night and day, just in terms of, you know, how much better the team's spirit were. I mean, I felt like, you know, just walking around in that locker room and listening to music playing, and guys were really upbeat and moving around, and it was a stark contrast to the whole way it was last week.
Yeah, we actually, our Patriots Today cameras here on the website, we're in the locker room for Belichick's speech, and it was definitely decidedly more upbeat. And the game ball naturally went to Tom Brady for hitting the 50,000-yard career mark, which was more than appropriate, and said in a very typical Bill Belichick, New England Patriot, understated way.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, it was really Tom Brady's night. I thought it was a really good night for him. Obviously, hitting the 50,000-yard mark was a huge accomplishment for his career, but I feel like overall it was just a good night for him for the season too, because a lot of what had been wrong with the Patriots offense, you know, every time I've been on here for the past few weeks, I've been beating the offensive line to death, but I got to give them a lot of credit for the way that they played this week. I thought they really set things up for him, for Tom Brady to have a big night and a smooth pocket to step into. Really didn't give up any pressure at all in the second half. Actually, when I was looking back at the game, I was surprised that his pocket was just perfect the entire second half. And so really, I think that was kind of the catalyst for how much better things were on offense, and also in the running game, where, I mean, Stephen Ridley, he created a lot of those yards on his own running as hard as he did, but certainly had a much easier time finding holes than the running game has over the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, a couple of good points there. The one time Brady got sacked was when Gronkowski blew the block and almost got his quarterback decapitated, I think. But, you know, the offensive line, I think they just kind of got back to basics. I mean, they came up with a game plan. They were going to run the ball on Cincinnati. That's what they did. We know that linemen love blocking straight ahead as opposed to pass blocking, and those guys were dealing from a position of strength. And I thought it was all literally was centered around Brian Stork's performance at center. And I think the Patriots have found their go-to guy here for the next few years.
I think they've at least found their combination for now, which I think is good enough. I mean, you look at Dan Connolly at left guard, Brian Stork at center, and Ryan Wendell at right guard. I thought that combination worked really well for them, and they stuck with that group pretty much the whole time. I think it was for 9 of the 11 drives that they were all out there together in those spots, and that's the most consistency we've really seen from them at any point this season. The only real change that ever came in the game was Marcus Cannon coming in for Sebastian Vollmer after he struggled, giving up a few pressures on the drive there in the second quarter,
right,
and then coming in for Nate Solder, which I thought was about more than rest, or more just about rest than, you know, unrest, really. But I feel like that group overall just had a really good game.
Yeah, they did have a really good game, and we saw good hard running from the running backs. We saw the receivers begin to make plays for themselves. We saw Gronkowski get back to being more like the old Gronk. He's not there yet, but we saw that improvement. We saw, you know, goodness gracious, there was an Aaron Dobson sighting as well. Brandon LaFell turned into what looked like, now he looks like he's going to be a guy that Brady apparently has some confidence in. There was a Danny Amendola sighting as well. Eric, we saw the ball spread around a little bit, really, was what I'm kind of getting at.
Well, yeah, we did, certainly, although, I mean, I would say that, you know, Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski did still have a majority of the targets, but certainly we did see it get spread around a little bit more than usual, and I think that was a good sign of things to come. Brandon LaFell, I feel like, I mean, he only had the one catch on the four targets, and so a little hesitant to put him back in that group, although I do think that, you know, just the fact that there were four passes thrown his way at all, I think that's, you know, another good sign for his development with Tom Brady and the rapport that they're building there. But certainly, I think the offense still runs through Julian Edelman and Ron Gronkowski. I mean, they combined for 19 targets. I'm not sure if I already said that, but they certainly were a key part of the offensive game plan once again.
All right, so then let's flip it to the other side, because as you well know, being Nitpick Tuesday, we do try to identify areas of improvement, to say the least, and clearly there are some, and to me it has to start with, you know, the penalties, because 12 flags for 114 yards, and they did have a couple of real drive killers in that bunch as well. That's not going to win you the Denver games and the San Diego games like you're going to have later in the season if that keeps up.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think, you know, just the way this offense has been playing before this past week, I know that we're all ready to, you know, jump right back on the offense's great bandwagon, and you know, it's obviously a good performance for them to have this past week, but I think there are still some concerns with regards to whether they can do that consistently, and I think, you know, if they're going to continue to get penalties like that and just kill their yardage, I think that's really not a recipe for them to beat the better teams like Denver coming up on the schedule in Green Bay, Detroit, and teams like that. So I look at that, and as well as I think my biggest nitpick was the defensive, the lack of pressure up front from that group.
Mm-hmm.
They did seem a little bit more coverage based in their game plan this week. Didn't really send very many blitzes or pressures after the quarterback, but definitely want to see a better, you know, a better effort being put forward. I mean, I don't want to say effort, because I think they're trying. I just think, you know, they're not getting to the quarterback up front with a four-man rush, which, I mean, part of that was due to Chandler Jones not playing very
much.
Dante Hightower was also out.
Yes.
So it may get better, but those guys weren't doing a very good job of getting after the quarterback either. So I feel like, you know, you get those guys back, it may help a little bit. But, I mean, even with those guys in the lineup, they were still struggling. So I still have some serious concerns about the lack of pressure up front, really.
I think you kind of answered your own nitpick on that one. I really think that was a game plan thing, because they're concerned with the, you know, the talent they had at wide receiver. And here's the other thing that I think we should probably point out that really has not been brought out enough. We actually saw some real man coverage by Darrell Revis for the first time.
We did. And I think, you know, if Brandon Browner comes back and he's a big part of the game plan, that could be even more frequent. And I think they should continue to do that and do it more often. I think with the Buffalo Bills coming up, I mean, that's an offense that really, I mean, they've been successful at times this year, but they haven't really seen a lot of complex coverages. They haven't seen a lot of man and guys bumping receivers off the routes. It's been a lot of off coverage for them. So I wonder if the Patriots will try to dictate the tempo defensively by getting up in those receiver spaces and trying to get them off their routes.
I hope that that's the case. I think that was clearly shown to be successful last year by Seattle. We saw this for the Patriots, you know, 10, 11 years ago, you know, when they were in the midst of their Super Bowl runs, you know, and clearly we, you know, had things like the Ty Law rule come into effect, you
right.
know, changing things for defensive backs in the NFL. Thank you, Bill Polian. So, you know, that's why they went out and they got these two guys. That's why they went out and they got Revis and they got Browner, to see that kind of play. And now we think, and I guess we'll know more starting tomorrow, but we think we're going to see these guys in the same defensive backfield for the first time this next week in Buffalo.
Yeah, we very well could. I mean, I would be hesitant to say that Browner will play a big part in the game plan right away. I think they'll try to work him back into the lineup, because, you know, even just a few days ago before the Cincinnati game on the radio, Belichick said that they wanted to give those guys a little bit more time. And so I think that, you know, between Browner and Timms, I mean, they'll probably play a part in the game plan, but they're not going to be a huge factor, at least from the get-go, just while the Patriots try to get them back up to speed from a conditioning standpoint. Because, you know, another thing Belichick said is, you know, you can't practice playing football because you need 21 other guys to do that. And so I think while these guys may have been doing all they could from a conditioning standpoint, it's going to be a little bit different when they go back out there and the bullets are real, so to speak.
Correct. Absolutely correct. Eric Frenz covers the Patriots and the AFC East for Boston.com, and he joins us here inside the playbook on Tuesdays. All right, so as I mentioned, it's on to Buffalo, and this turns out to be a battle for first place, because Buffalo went on the road and surprised Detroit last week, and they've got a new starter quarterback in Kyle Orton, which is a little bit of a surprise to a lot of people.
I mean, well, it's a surprise only from the standpoint that E.J. Manuel has only started 14 games, and that seems a little bit early to give up on a quarterback. But, I mean, having followed the AFC East for the past few years and just seeing the progression of E.J. Manuel, I can tell you there really hasn't been much progression of E.J. Manuel. It's pretty much the same quarterback that he was when he entered the league. And, I mean, now that he's had I mean, obviously he doesn't have the game experience, but he's been in the system for now almost 2 years, and he just hasn't made any real significant strides forward as a passer. So I feel like they're moving on to Kyle Lorton was a move that kind of seemed like it was coming, even though it does seem a little bit early for that kind of move to be made. But definitely I think it's interesting that, you know, Orton has been written off now for a few years, but Josh McDaniels was really the one who gave him a shot in Denver, and it'll be interesting to see those guys go head-to-head this week.
No question. I was just getting ready to go there. Big exchange previously between these two when Orton was running things, when Josh was the head coach in Denver, and Orton was a big part of Josh getting out to that 5-0 start, you know, during his first year before things, you know, suddenly went south. So, you know, he knows a little about Kyle Orton.
Absolutely, and I think it'll be an interesting matchup from that perspective, but just to see, you know, how the Patriots respond after another week of success, because if these are really the Patriots, really they should win this game. I mean, this is kind of one of those games that, you know, obviously, you know, last week they were up against it. They had a 6-day stretch to, you know, prepare for Cincinnati and to play that game, and they were getting beat up all week, and they really rose to the occasion. But the Patriots of old, they dominate week in and week out, and this is kind of the game where they have to prove, all right, this wasn't, you know, a one-week thing where we just dominated an opponent at home in prime time who wasn't ready for the big stage.
Yeah.
You know, we can do this on a week-to-week basis. But certainly I think for the offense, just to go up against the defense that's really kind of built to stop them, because they have a four-man rush up front with Marshall Darius, Kyle Williams, Mario Williams, and Jerry Hughes that can get after the quarterback, and they don't need to blitz very much to do that. And I think that's something where, you know, you start to drop seven guys into coverage and have four men rush pretty consistently, get after Tom Brady. That could be a recipe for the offense, you know, kind of struggling in ways we've seen them struggle for the first 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, Buffalo is kind of right there with the Patriots in terms of, you know, total defensive offerings. I mean, the Patriots right now are ranking fourth in total defense in the entire NFL, second in the AFC behind San Diego, but Buffalo is right behind them, eighth in the NFL in total defense. So that's definitely a Bill strong suit, it seems to be this year.
Absolutely, and fifth in scoring, too, which is really impressive. But you look at just the improvements that defense has made from last season to this season. I mean, they were one of the worst run defenses in the league last year, and this year they're up, I think, in the top five in pretty much every category across the board in run defense. And, I mean, obviously there were some concerns about Mike Pettine leaving the fold as the defensive coordinator for them last year. They had a lot of success against the pass. They had, I think, three defenders that had 10 sacks or more last season. They finished with, I think, the second most sacks in the league, over 50. And certainly that group was a catalyst for them, but the run defense and the improvements they've made up front in that area are just night and day. And I think that's really been one of the bigger reasons for that group being so successful.
All right, so Buffalo to come. The Patriots apparently have kind of turned things around. And let me close with this, Eric, because I thought really we saw the potential, and I mentioned this in the View from Above piece this week on Patriots.com, but I think we saw the potential for one of those seminal moments of the season. And to me, it happened when, you'll recall, if we go back to, I think this was, third quarter. I think it was third quarter in the game on Sunday night. Patriots are driving. They have the ball at the 25-yard line. Penalty knocks them back. They have a 3rd-and-16 play. And then Shane Vereen goes up the middle for 19 yards on a 3rd-and-16. Do you remember that play? When he ran the ball, the very next play, Brady finds Gronk for the touchdown pass. And the very next play after that, Kyle Arrington recovers a fumble and goes into the end zone for a touchdown. And completely a 20-10 game, which is still beginning, was still hanging in the balance, became a blowout. What do you think about that in terms of looking back on a moment and saying, wow, things changed?
Yeah, really. I mean, that's an interesting point. And I mean, obviously, you know, to be backed up against it on 3rd-and-16 and get a 22-yard run on a draw.
Yep.
The Patriots were really hoping for a field goal there, and the player just made a big play. Shane Vereen has had a lot of struggles this season, and I think he's been one of the you know, underrated, you know, kind of, I don't want to say punching bags, but he's been a scapegoat for the running game just because of the lack of ability for them to create any explosive plays in that regard. But that group, I mean, him and Stephen Ridley, they really came together this past Sunday and made some big plays, and I thought that would be an area that they could have some success just from having watched the Bengals. It looked like their nickel run defense was one of the bigger weaknesses for them. Geno Atkins is obviously a really good player, but he's coming off of a leg surgery from last season that ended his season, and obviously isn't quite the same player. And Domet Opeko, I mean, he's been really good over his career as well, but just not the same player this year either. So that group really took advantage right there, and that was obviously one of the bigger plays that really sent the game into the blowout that it became.
We'll see if the momentum continues from there. Eric, thanks for the time today.
Thanks a lot. Good talking to you, John.
All right. Talk to you next week. Eric Friends, again, covers the Patriots and the AFC for AFC East for Boston.com. He joined us in the playbook on Nitpick Tuesdays. All right, I got a ton of emails. I want to get to as many of them as I can here. Posts, tweets as well. Gabe says, Nitpick Tuesday in full swing. It's on an upswing, that is. All three phases showed much-needed improvement. It's funny. I replied to a post on the website last week ranting about how they should go back to the basic. Pats, run it down your throat. Short passing, power, quick tempo style, and let Revis be Revis. And it was as if all was heard. Or at least a lot of people have the same feelings and were heard. Totally agree. My nitpick this week would be consistency, consistency, consistency. And finally, tempo, fast pace, mix it up when needed. I don't mind the penalties if they keep the edge and they show it every week. There you go. And, John, I also wanted to thank you for taking the time to respond to my emails. You are a gentleman and a scholar. I don't know about the scholar part, but I'll accept the gentleman part. Thank you, Gabe in Newtown, PA. Onique in Waterbury, Connecticut. First time riding in. Great show as always. Pats looked great this past Sunday. I know they still have a long way to go, but this is a great start. I was at the game Sunday night, was on my feet cheering them on and chanting Brady, Brady, which had to be the best experience I've ever had attending a game. Crowd was awesome the whole night. Best game I've been to. Recognition and donation that the Pats and Robert Kraft gave Devin Stills and his daughter was incredible. Pats are a class act. I'm proud to call myself a Patriot fan. Thank you, Onique. All right, Marshall in Ohio. Would you please discuss your take on all the news and Bill's statement on the Aaron Dobson news? Well, Marshall, without kind of dismissing it, all the news, I'm not sure what specifically you're looking for. As far as Dobson's concerned, I assume that you're talking about the story from last week. I think that where there's smoke, there's fire. And the Patriots went out of their way to make a statement on Aaron Dobson and an alleged, tiff, if you will, riff, argument, whatever it might have been with Josh McDaniels or a member of the Patriots coaching staff. Normally, they just kind of let that stuff go, and they felt strongly enough about it to not let it go. And I'm one of those that thinks that they got out ahead of it because there might have been something to it. I don't think we'll ever know. And as long as they win football games and Aaron does his job and everybody's okay from here on out, there's no reason to keep going back to it. Michael says, John, I was so fired up after the game. I think the Patriots are back on track but still need help in the rush pass rush category, and just as Eric told us. And I love how Bill Belichick released the Kraken it being Revis. Man, did he look good, just wondering if there's somebody to go out there and get for purely pass rushing. We need to put more pressure on the quarterback. Well, I think that was largely in the game plan. And perhaps that the pass rush part of it will continue to improve once you get Chandler Jones back full speed and you have Dante Hightower return to the active lineup, that it would allow him to take the middle so Jones can put his ears back and get after it. What are we going to do? We have to come up with another hashtag here, Kev. Release the Kraken. I guess release the Kraken or something along those lines. Dan in San Antonio. My surprise would be how well the O-line played. If they only played like this from the beginning, yeah, then they wouldn't be 3-2, that's for sure. I guess I'm not as surprised in hindsight how we responded and how angry the team was. I was all for some of the penalties we got because I finally felt like we were playing with fire for once. All season long, so far up until that game, this team seemed like they lacked passion. We finally saw it on Sunday. I couldn't be happier. Good points, Daniel, but you don't want drives that have penalties that become drive killers. Because when you're playing teams like the Denvers and the San Diegos that you still have on the schedule, you can't afford any missed opportunities. You got to take advantage of all of them. Douglas says, John, I'm a Brazilian fan of the Patriots. Welcome, Douglas. Man, it was a great game, but don't you think our defense at times got lucky? I mean, Sanu dropped a couple. There were also some drops in the end zone. Yeah, but I always say it's better to be lucky than good. The superlative is that finally Gronk seems to be back looking to overpower everybody. Keep up the good work. I really enjoy the playbook and your very classy way of doing it. Well, I've been called a lot of things. I'm not sure if Sir Classy has been part of that. Kev, that may be a first for classy. Yeah, don't have to. You don't have to shake your head up and down so vigorously there, buddy. Thanks. All right, Nestor in San Diego. John, keeping my feet on the ground, not being so negative or being so positive, I have to say that I'm surprised about how the game unfolded. My pick is that we left at least 16 points off the board. Yeah, well, we've had a couple of people also mention that today. And all because we were in the red zone or even inside the five-yard line. If we want to have control of the games, we have to score. My surprise, Tim Wright, the O-line. Howard, Stratford, Connecticut. John, I didn't see that coming, even though I did pick them to win. It wasn't a confident pick. Nitpicks, penalties, energy and urgency, pass rush, field goals instead of touchdowns. Tom's deep throws are still inaccurate, even with time in the pocket. I'm not so sure about that one, Howard. I think he was 5 of 8 in that category. Drop passes by wide receivers and tight ends that should have been caught. I think I'd go along with at least 5 of those 6. We're usually both on the same page, Howard. Hope all the injuries heal up quickly and are ready for Buffalo this week. It was a good team win. John in South Carolina, my nitpicks. The refs, I do not believe the refs called that game evenly. The holding calls on the line and Dennard were no worse than the ones they didn't call on the Bengals line or cornerbacks. 2, Brady didn't throw to Edelman enough. Kidding. I'll bet. Wink, wink. And then 3, Stork had a few complete misses, although I thought he played really well. Surprise, Vereen. I've been an anti-Vereen person when I see him out there. I instantly get upset. Well, he ran well, and he had great vision in this game. Good calls, John. Good calls all the way around. He also added, we're keeping Amendola because it would cost us more money to release him this year. Next year, he will not be on the team. I agree with that one, John, 100%. I hope I'm wrong. I'd like to see them try to find a way to keep him, but he's got to produce for that to happen. And I don't know if that's going to happen, especially at his salary level. Garland, who's this Casey Walker guy? I was like, who's this number 98? He looked more impressive than Silver Salinga. Also, Dobson's speed surprised me. Why not use him like Seattle uses Harvin? I know he's not Percy Harvin, but if he has that type of speed, get the ball to him fast like Seattle does. I think Dobson has a lot of upside. Pats need to keep on developing him. Bingo! And that's why you saw really came down to Dobson or Kimbrell Tompkins and Dobson being a draft pick, and because they feel like he has that upside you're talking about, Garland, that's why he's activated, and that's why Kimbrell Tompkins is now with Oakland. In short, anyway. Alex from Paramus. This is my email that I sent you a few hours before the game against the Bengals and the Patriots. You did not read it. And he says, Patriot Nation, how fast we jump ship. We have arguably the greatest coach and the greatest quarterback that has ever played and coached the game. I trust in Bill. I trust in Brady. Since when has Dalton become a big-name quarterback? This is the Bengals Super Bowl. Brady throws 4 touchdowns, and he says, Patriots 31, Bengals 24. We didn't get the score right, Al. You were kind of close, though. And kudos to you for your optimism. Chad from the ATL. John, what surprised me was Tim Wright's play. I'm not surprised with him. I know how good he is. I'm surprised they actually finally used him. I only have one nitpick from Sunday night, and that's holy flags, Batman. What's with up with all the penalties? It seemed like the ratio of penalties was about 60% player, 40% bad calls by the refs, and you can fix the 60 with coaching. How do you fix the other 40? That being said, I'm kind of excited to see Browner activated, not because I think he'll magically make the defense top 5, although, if you really want to nitpick here, they kind of are already. They're 3rd in the AFC and 5th overall in total defense after 5 weeks. Just nitpicking with you, Chad. Tony in Toronto. John, I'd say the most memorable Super Bowl loser would have been the 07 Patriots, and we all know why. Anyway, my nitpick would, without a doubt, be the penalties. We can say all day long that the Bengals left some points on the field, but were it not for the Patriot penalties, this game would not have even been as close as it was. My nice surprise was how well the O-line bounced back. I was hoping for an improvement, but the line's performance far exceeded my expectations. Yep, agreed. Matthew, John, longtime listener, first-time emailer. Wanted to give my thoughts on the game. I love the physicality and passion they played with. The penalties and refs calls have to be my nitpicks of the game, but I like the roughness the defense played with. And the coming out of Tim Wright as a dominant pass catcher is something I've been waiting for since the trade of Mankins. Love to see the two tight end offense that we used to have with Gronk and Hernandez. I'd also like to get your thoughts on Brandon Browner starting as the corner opposite of Revis. Well, I think that'll eventually happen. I don't know yet that we'll see that for this week, but I do think that it's on its way. Luke says, John, I have to disagree with this dilemma of Brady's supporting cast. Now, I know it's Michael Silver's article and it's terrible, but I disagree. The Patriots have surrounded Brady with outstanding talent. Not 2 years ago did the Patriots play in the Super Bowl, and it came down to one last play. And what about Deion Branch? Best wide receiver in the NFL since Jerry Rice? No other receiver in the history of the Super Bowl has ever delivered as exceptionally well as Branch. Last I checked, he was a Super Bowl MVP and not Randy Moss, who left us with his silly deep threat vocabulary. And I will say this, reaching the Super Bowl is the minimum to me. Wow. Not like, you know, slapping you with the backside of the hand, coming back with a full front-handed slap. I can't say that I can disagree with it entirely, Luke, in terms of the Patriots having Denver-like talent on the team. But let's say this. We hope that the Patriots do have the ability to maximize the talent that they currently have on the roster. Brian in Richmond, Virginia, the pleasant surprise, the anger with which they took the field. Loved it. Hope to see this all year long. The nitpick, O-line penalties, and a couple of secondary holding penalties, not to be confused with the attitude penalties, both real and imagined by the Zebras. Those are sometimes worth it to a degree. Agreed, to a degree. Couple of quick Facebooks. John from Sean. This is from Sean in Sacramento. Finally, we get a good decisive win. Glad to see the team come out all fired up and ram the ball down Cincy's throat. Looks like the team has something they can build on. My nitpicks, first one that stands out, the penalties. They need to clean that up, and also the lack of pass rush. Seemed like Dalton had all the time in the world in the pocket. And my positives, well, the Devin still recognition at halftime. That was very cool to see. It was in third quarter, but you were close. Bob says, my nitpick, too many penalties. Patriots dominated the Bengals the whole game, but they still had 12 penalties. Drove me crazy that the Pats had since he stopped dead to rights on third down a couple of times, but ended up giving them new life with penalties. Scott says, John, I'm sure the show will be much more positive than the last couple with pretty good reason. The team played as a complete team, which was predicted by many fans, including me, with the talent they have. Although I was impressed with the contribution of many players on Sunday, Brady really showed his commitment to the team and to winning football games with strapping on a huge pair and then rushing the ball even for a few yards. And he says, sorry, no nitpick for today. Nori says, still enjoying the win. The Brady chants were epic. The non-believers and Fairweather fans are hibernating right now and are at a loss for words. When last week they were all being knee-jerk, demanding for a Brady trade, I always have faith in this team to bounce back after adversity. Okay, good stuff. And we have a new Facebook follower today, Benjamin, who says, good point. Penalties, loss against Miami, all from BS flags, he says. Roughing the passer, I've seen worse hits in other games and nothing. And if you notice, those flags were on third down. This week the flags hurt Dennard and his holding. Let's see. One constant all season so far, Brady needs to stop trying to force every pass to be perfect. Just play football. We don't need to see the receiver try on passes because Brady only puts the ball where he thinks the receiver has the best chance to get it against offering more 50-50 looks. Okay, paraphrasing there, and thank you, Benjamin, for the follow. Final couple of tweets, and then we turn it over to our fantasy football guys. Mary Beth says, maybe it was my machine. Everything was on echo and garbled quick, off and on, corrected. I'm glad to know. She was asking what the heck you were doing, I think, earlier. So I have no idea. Kevin was just doing his due diligence today, Mary Beth. Maybe you just need to reboot that computer. Time to upgrade from the 1999 PC, I think, Mary Beth. Just kidding. Let's see, what else? Oh, David says, are they going to spend on big names after all this talk about Brady not having enough weapons? No. Why would they do that? That just wouldn't be the Patriot way, now would it? And then Nate gives his his nitpick was drops. LaFell dropped a pass in the end zone. Tom fit the ball right in there, and he flat out dropped it. Good stuff. That absolutely is good stuff all the way around. Gang, thanks so much for participating in the program today. Fantasy guys are coming up next. So you want to stick around for that here on Patriots.com radio. It's definitely a different feel. There's no doubt about it. But as I suggested off the top of the show, it's on to Buffalo. So tomorrow for WTF Wednesday, that's what we will be working on. Hashtag WTF, what's the focus Wednesday? And we'll turn our page and look more at the Buffalo Bills. We'll take your cards, your letters, thoughts of the day. It's all coming up. Thanks, Kevin. Good job today. Fantasy next here, Patriots.com radio.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2